Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 114. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, friend?
Good. It's, trying to think. Generally I have something clever to say, but I'm not feeling clever today, but maybe that's because our guest is probably a lot more clever than I am.
Oh, we've got an abundance of clever wit and charm this week, and that's because we've got Dave Marrera joining us, and so, hey, let's just bring him on. Dave, welcome back to the podcast, my friend.
Hey, guys. Long time no see. Nice to be back.
I see you got your beard back. That's good.
Beard's back. Wearing my V-Beers hat, see?
Yeah, very nice.
Representing.
A little behind the scenes here. When I initially sent the Medium request for this episode, I entitled it Beard Grooming Tips, to which John immediately declined.
wonder why.
I don't have a need for that, he said.
Baby face.
All right, well, we're not talking about beard tips today, but we are talking about something that's applicable to most people in this industry, and that is performance testing. Now, Dave, this is something that you're very familiar with your job at VMware, so why don't we start with that? What exactly do you do at VMware that qualifies you to have this conversation about performance testing?
Sure. What exactly do you do? That sounds like the Office Space movie.
We really need that on the soundbar to where you push that button, and it's the, what is it you do here?
What would you say you do here?
I'm a people person.
Now that's tech marketing. We talk to the engineers so that the customer doesn't.
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand it?
All right. Aside from your people skills, what exactly do you do?
So yeah, during my regular work, I do, besides someone of the enablement in the field, we do a lot of POCs, and that includes a lot of performance testing when it comes to HCI platforms, right? So a customer comes in and they say, we want to buy vSAN, we want to test it out, kick the tires, what do we need to do here? And there's a lot of uncertainty from the customer side, even from the field, you know, not knowing how to approach it. So that's why we get engaged a lot.
Okay, so at the pre-sales, you're involved, and you basically you build environments so customers that are possibly on traditional storage, or maybe even looking, comparing you to another HCI vendor, or maybe just trying to go to HCI for the first time, they look to you to make sure that their workloads can work on vSAN. Is that what you're saying?
Most of the time, is we need to find out what is success look like for the customer, right? So if they're coming to us and say, okay, I know what my workloads look like. I want to run SQL, Oracle, blah, blah, and this is exactly what it looks like. We're going to test exactly those workloads, and which is the best approach, right? Bringing their own workloads to the mix, to the test, I'm running those workloads is going to get them the best results because it's going to be their environment, right? So if you think about, when you go and buy a car, when you test a car, you kick the tires first and you're like, okay, that looks good. Let's go drive it out. Let's test it, right? But you also want to go maybe a little further. Maybe you want to bring it into your own environment. You know, does it fit in the garage? Does it fit in my driveway? Right. And there's sort of things that customers don't think about, you know, when you're looking at a tool and say, okay, this is real life test. Or is it? I don't think it is, right? Because not all the workloads are exactly the same. You know, you can have two separate SQL servers and they can have different workload profiles. So one way to do this is to bring your own workloads into the test and run those as part of your test criteria.
Well, I love how you say that, like, not all SQL servers are the same, because that's come up before. I've gotten into this ridiculous circular conversation before. Someone says, I need to size my vSAN. I'm like, great, let's talk about your workload. They're like, well, I'm running Oracle. I'm like, okay, so Oracle is a company. I'm going to guess the database. Yeah.
I'm running Larry.
Yeah, I'm running Larry, you know. You know, if we say his full name three times, he'll appear and sue us for copyright, I'm sure. But then you're like, okay, so you got an application. Oh, no, I have Oracle. I'm like, okay, so is it like an OLTP? OLTP, is this a data warehouse? Like, I have Oracle. They just repeat it over and over again. And it's like, is it two ladies in HR? Is this one little tiny application? Or is this like the core ERP for Dow Chemical?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we see every day, right? Customers don't know the workload, the profiles they have. And even when I was a customer, I had no idea. If you ask me today, I have no idea what we
1 million, had. 1 million IOPS.
1 million IOPS, yeah. So one of the things we do out in the field is running Lab Optics, which is the Dell DPAC tool, got renamed. And we use that tool to look at the workload profiles, not just CPU, memory, or storage you're, being, you're using in your environment, but you're also looking at the block size. We're looking at the percentage of reads and writes. We're looking at, based on the block size, we can tell, is it random or sequential, things like that. And obviously, how many IOPS. So if you come to me and say, I need 1 million IOPS and run Lab Optics and find out you need 25,000 at 95 percentile, then I know that you don't know your workload profile. So that's one of the things that...
Let's start this off with a generalization. Most people don't know their workload.
No, and that's why we do it, right? That's why we're here. That's why we come and help them. We run the tool and we analyze it and say, okay, this is what we're seeing. This is what you need. This is the peak, and we're going to test based on this because this is your environment, right? We want to make sure that your car you're buying fits in the garage, and that's why we're running this tool.
Oh, that's interesting. So you don't just take them at their word for what their requirements are. You actually go in there and run a full analysis, a sizing, if you will, to see what exactly they're doing. So then you can best determine what specifically the requirements are so you can find something that fits their needs.
Right. Like John said, most customers don't know their profiles, the workload. So we go, we analyze it, see what they have, what they need. If it's a greenfield deployment, that's a little bit different, right? So we kind of generalize on the workload profiles. But most of the time, it's brownfield. Then going from traditional storage to vSAN. And so we go in, analyze it, and say, okay, you need 30,000 IOPS. This is your split between reads and writes and your block size. And we run a test based on that. So we're trying to make it as close as possible. Even though if you can't bring your workloads over, then we're going to try to match it as much as we can so that it's a real life test.
Well, one interesting thing I'm curious you've run into, because I ran into this a lot back when I had run the old DPAC back in the day, was you'd come into an environment, you'd profile it, and you're like, okay, you're doing 1,000 IOPS, but you also have 100 milliseconds and you're at max queue depth. So it looks like I don't actually know what your workload wants. I just know that it's not getting it from the platform today, and it's basically breaking the platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, from that tool, we can also tell, okay, your throughput, how much network you're going to need and things like that. Because that's also what we see. It's one of the things we see a lot, right? You throw all the hardware you can, you get the best servers you can, but then you forget about the network, right? And you get these little hubs on the back end trying to run only NVMe clusters, which is not going to work well.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. So it sounds like you're measuring a lot more than just IOPS. I mean, because even SQL obviously has intense CPU workloads. So I guess it makes sense that when you're using this tool, you have to measure IOPS, networking, compute, et cetera, because you want to get a full picture of, what your requirements are, right?
Correct. I mean, a lot of applications are different, right? Some like the IOPS, some like the throughput, some, we're looking at CPU, things like that. So going back to the car analogy, you need a dashboard that shows you everything. If you have a car that only shows you speed, then it's not really good for you, right? You don't know when you're going to run out of gas, if the oil is heating up, things like that. So, I mean, you want a tool that is going to show you all these parameters so that you can make a good decision, right? If the application that you want to implement is actually looking for low latency and it's not showing you latency, then, you better move to another tool.
Ah, got it. Okay.
So speaking of the ability to look at all these different kind of parameters, it looks like there have been some improvements with HCI Bench version 2.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So HCI Bench 2.0, which was just released, it's not a VMware tool per se, it's a Fling. So it's available to anybody. You don't have to register. You don't need a VMware account. No need to sign up for data collection or anything like that. Just download it, run it. It's actually, as you may know, it runs VDBench. We Chen and the team that does that, they also added FIO. So you can run FIO or VDBench to actually run the workloads.
Okay. And for those that don't know, FIO is?
Flexible IO. Yeah. We just generated a bunch of IOs based on the parameters you specify. And the cool thing about that is that, we provide through HCI Bench UI. So you can check, say you have 70% reads, 30% writes, make it simple. But also, if you want to go more in depth, and for example, if you run a VDI test and say, okay, I know my VDI users are heavy, and I'm going to introduce a 30% CPU utilization on those VMs, then you can go and create a custom VDBench parameter file and import that into HCI Bench and run it. So HCI Bench is going to go out, deploy those VMs for you, collect the data, and then we're going to present not just IOPS, but we're going to present latency, throughput, CPU utilization, things like that. And you can dig even deeper now with 2.0 because we added Grafana. So you can actually see during the test what's running and you can see real life what's happening.
Ooh, Grafana, that's nice. So before you had to basically capture your data and then analyze it after the fact, but now you can actually do it live?
Yeah, before we were capturing vSAN Observer, right? We still do that. So now you have two layers. So now you can see real time what's going on. And after the test is gone, it's done, you can go back and check in depth what's going on. How, if you're dropping packets on the network side, you know, if there's a drive that is not responding, maybe it has low IOPS, or maybe a drive to cache device, it's filling up too quickly. You can actually troubleshoot a lot from that. So not only from a performance standpoint, but from a troubleshooting standpoint, you can look at this tool and say, oh, around this test, and I know this particular host is causing me issues, which happened to me not too long ago. I was running a test, found out just by looking at it, I knew the hardware should be giving me very low latency, and in fact, it was. And so figured out that through this test, one of the hosts was causing the issue, took the host out of the cluster, got more IOPS, latency was under 1 millisecond. So found out that the problem was with the NIC driver, pretty much. So very, very powerful.
Wow. I guess it really is always the network then. Anyway, so tell me something. I know people try these tools themselves. They run them without your help. So are there any misunderstandings or maybe some misconceptions about doing testing that people should know about?
Yeah, it happens all the time. So one of the main misunderstandings is they don't know what workloads they're testing for, right? So they get whatever tool they want and they say, run that test. They get some numbers and they say, okay, that looks good, or no, it looks horrible. But they don't understand how everything's working on the back end. So if you run a test for 5 minutes, you're going to get a different result than if you run a test for 2 hours or 3 hours, right? Because especially with HCI, right? Because we have process things running cache, then you rewrite to cache and then you destage later point. So if you run a test for 15 minutes, be aware of that. Because you may be running everything in cache and then you're not seeing, you know, what's going to happen next.
It's not true stress testing until the cache is completely warmed up, right?
Right. You got to warm it up, you know, fill it up with zeros, things like that. So, you know, make sure you're running, you know, a test for at least an hour, if not more.
My other favorite testing methodology I've uncovered is people use things like Crystal Disk or these things that are designed for consumer drives and then like stick them, have like a single Windows VM. They're like, I'm running a single VM and the single, and I'm trying to test, you know, database performance, and I'm using 256, you know, megabyte block size. I'm curious. Yeah. What are some of the kind of extremes of not to do, you see?
Yeah. The number one mistake, like I'm saying, it's not knowing what to test for, right? If you're just clicking one of the tests that are included and doesn't match your environment, you know, you may end up, you know, buying that solution, but it may not be what you need. Right. So if you're buying a car that is, it goes 200 miles an hour, right? That's not really what you need if you're going to commute every day and be stuck in traffic for 40 minutes. Right. So knowing what you're buying for is very important. Knowing those workload profiles, using the right tools to test that. For example, for VDI, Login VSI, it's a great tool for that. Right. Otherwise, if you don't know exactly what to test for, then it's going to be a black hole.
So let's talk about kind of a middle ground here. So let's say I don't necessarily want to move a workload over. Maybe it's greenfield, but I don't want to go full synthetic. What are some of the kind of application specific things I might look at for, say, like Exchange or Oracle or tooling like that?
Yeah, I mean, for some of the applications, like I said, for VDI, Login VSI is specifically done for that. For databases, we have tools out there like HammerDB. Where you can select the type of workload you wanna test, you know, like you're saying, if it's a greenfield deployment, you don't know what your workloads are gonna look like, and I had a few of those. So you know, we use tools that get close enough to that. Just make sure that you kind of understand not only what the HCI solution does, but also what the application is intended to do. So if you're planning on doing OLTP workloads, you know, make sure you run that type of workload, not just some obscure workload from any third-party tool.
Yeah, there are a lot of different apps out there, and which reminded me of this this whole idea of hero numbers. You know, it's like I went to a storage vendor conference a few years back, and I remember the guy on the main stage. He got up there and, you know, he was showing this tool and he was like, we can get over 1 million IOPS, you know, and he even had like this animation on the screen where it was like showing a car speedometer revving. And like that was the goal, to just have these hero numbers on IOPS. And it just made me think, like, that's not everything, right? I mean, it just reminds me of, like, how do you define what the number is that you need, and you know, which ultimately is not always just, oh, the most IOPS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question, because we get that a lot, actually. You know, there's quite a few customers that don't understand what they're testing for, and they want to see how fast it goes, right? So again, going back to the car analogy, they want to buy a Ferrari when they want to, you know, have a car to go commute every day. It doesn't matter if the car can go 500 miles an hour. You're never going to go that fast without getting caught, right? So it doesn't really matter how fast it can go, as long as it meets your criteria. So when you're running a test, a performance test, just make sure you can see all that information, right? You go back to the dashboard. Can you see IOPS? You can see latency, you know, what's important for your workloads. Is it CPU utilization? You know, you want to make sure you're going to fill out those hosts, and then you're going to crash the host because you're, you know, nailing them with the CPU resources from the VMs. So just make sure, number one, understand your workloads, bring them over. If not, then use a tool that can show you all this and try to use the workload profiles that you're going to run in production.
Got it. Okay. So earlier you mentioned testing real workloads, but then we've also touched a little bit on some of the synthetic workloads. So can you get good real numbers using synthetic workloads? Is it a real true test? Are there good tools out there?
Yes, there's just quite a bit. So what we see a lot by running all these lab optics assessments all the time, the general use case, it's about a 70-30 split, meaning that, you know, 70% of the IOs are reads and 30% are write. And that's something we see on and on. So difference, you know, there's a difference between, you know, 2 to 5% between those two. But usually a 70-30 split, which is something like what HGigabench does for the easy run. So that's a pretty indicative of, you know, real world for a lot of the general use cases. When we get to more application-centric, that's when you have to go and dig in deeper and get those numbers, because that's going to be very different, right? So we're talking VDI, Oracle, SQL, Exchange, all those. So look at the workloads for those. But for the most part, that 70-30 split, 4K, 8K, we've seen, you know, a small number of block sizes. It's what we see for general use case servers.
Oh, okay. So you would say that there are some advantages to using synthetic workloads then, right?
Oh, there's definitely a place for it. But like I said before, you know, bringing your own workloads, testing for your environment, it's ideal, right? You don't want to test something just because it's included on that test tool and then, you know, run with that because that may not fit your requirements. So if you can bring your workloads perfect, if you can't, then synthetic testing would be the way to go. Just try to match this as close as possible as you can.
And I also like the advice also to, you know, try to match it, but also look at it holistically. Use a tool that can use like Live Optics, so you can watch not only the latency go down, the IOPS go up, but also look at the CPU load and make sure those hosts are designed properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to look at it at the whole picture, right? Not just the IOPS, not just how fast you can go, but also how fuel efficient it is if you're looking at a car analogy. So just think of the whole picture when you're testing a solution like that.
Pete, I now know what the cover photo for this podcast is. It's going to be a drag racer.
Exactly.
Well, but I mean, the continuing the ridiculous car analogies, like you've got those like funny car benchmarks, you know, or it's like, okay, this thing is really fast at, you know, half a byte, you know, of reads, you know, for a very short burst versus, you know, longer benchmark runs of synthetic or more realistic, you know, just vMotion your stuff over and see what it works. It's interesting talking to some of our internal IT about, you know, when they were measuring one application, they're moving over to vSAN, you know, I was like, so what was like the process you did? Oh, we just vMotioned it over. Didn't break. Worked great. I was like, okay. But one thing that they did mention was that they use HGIBench beforehand, not necessarily to try to like identify exactly what the host was capable of, but as a smoke test before they vMotion the app over to make sure that there wasn't something wrong with the networking or wrong with a firmware or something like that. Use HGIBench, run it for 8 hours. Kind of like we used to burn in memory back in the day before ECC. We'd sit there and like take a server and have it, you know, hammer the memory for 24 hours to try to corrupt it. Use HGIBench to see if, hey, is there something in the stack that's going to break under heavy load? Because realistically, you know, 16 hours of max synthetic workload is not my steady state. So if it can survive that, you know, I'm more worried about it just making sure it's testing the hardware. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And that's something we do a lot too. You know, we run a baseline test. So we run like something like an easy run from HCI bench, and then we'll look out for, you know, possible problems. You know, is there a NIC that is dropping packets? You know, maybe we need to update the firmware if it wasn't done before, things like that. So we run a test, a baseline, you know, make sure everything looks good. And then we can also, we also use that tool to generate that load while we're doing some failure testing, right? So, you know, unplug some nodes and with load on it, and you can see VMs migrating. Again, this is for the environment where you can't bring your own VMs. So we actually use this, the tool to, you know, to generate some failures. Freaking dog.
I love that. I love that, by the way. Let me guess. He's normally quiet, but he decided to go volume 11 because you're podcasting.
Yeah.
Now, if you want some help with reviewing the benchmarks, is there anything in the product with NVSAN that I can use to say, what is this? What does this benchmarking even mean? Is there something I can click or do?
Yeah, so we should, within NVSAN, the performance, we can monitor what is going on. You can see IOPS latency. We can actually have in, I believe it was 6.7, maybe U1, that you can see there's a performance for support, and you can actually drill down to the DOM, LSOM, NICs, dropping packets. So you can get, you know, pretty crazy as to what you can see within vSAN during those tests.
Oh, okay. That's different from the vSAN performance diagnostics though, right?
No, that's, so he's talking about the performance for support. So if you go to cluster, monitor, vSAN, support, performance for support in that order, that's your click path.
Yep.
You will find what was the old vSAN observer dashboards are rolled up under there.
Oh, nice.
The performance diagnostics, I think Dave can clarify what that is.
Yeah, the performance diagnostics, they actually tie up with HCI bench, right? So after you run a test, you can go back and select one of those tests. It's going to be under the drop-down box. You can click one of those and it's going to look for issues pretty much. So if it's if you're looking for more IOPS, less latency, it's going to say, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that, maybe create more disk groups if it finds a problem. So it's actually going to help you through that.
Okay, so the performance diagnostics, this is essentially analyzing something that I've previously run and captured using HCI Bench?
Yeah, so HCI Bench is pretty much tied up to vCenter. You connect them at the beginning. They know about each other, right? After you run the test from vCenter, you actually have access to those results, import them in per se, and then you can actually go through it and analyze it.
I like it. I like it. So I know HCI initially was a fling. Is it still a fling?
Yeah, it's still a fling. So there, like I said, there's no need to sign up for it. No registration. You don't need a VMware account or anything like that. Download it. You have access. You can download VDBench as a separate download and import it, or you can use FIO, which is not included on 2.0.
So if I download this and start testing my environment, I'm not like sending my information to VMware, right? Like they're not going to like collect my information for their own sales initiatives, are they?
No, wouldn't share any information. So we have the CIP, right, from vCenter, which you can opt out at any moment, but all that information is obfuscated. So even VMware support is not going to have access to IP addresses, names, or anything like that. So it's all pretty much performance metrics. We go off an ID for your vCenter cluster, your vCenter, but we don't export any data. So we're not collecting data from you at all. It's just, you know, you can just run it and it's free for anybody.
I like it. And I love when people use the word obfuscate without stumbling, because John seems to have the hardest time with that word.
Obfuscation. Yeah.
Sweet. So Dave, it sounds like from a proof of concept and performance testing perspective, you are the man. So if somebody doesn't want to call you and have you run this proof of concept testing for them in their environment, you know, aside from just downloading the fling, do you have any recommendations, any guidance, anything we can share with people so they can actually do some testing on their own?
Yeah. So a lot of customers actually, they want to do their own, right? They don't want the vendor to have their hands in their environment, and they don't want any biased decisions there. So they usually run it by themselves, and that's usually when I get called at, because they don't understand what's going on. So like I said before, it's important for them to understand the workload. So LabOptics, again, that's free for them as well. You got to sign up, and they can run in their own environments, you know, find out what's going on, and then choose any tool. It could be the standalone VDBench, FIO, or integrated with HCI Bench to automate the process. just based on those workloads. So they could definitely do it by themselves. It's not super hard to do, but you just need to understand what's going on. And a lot of the traditional stores, not a lot, but some of them, they do provide some information as far as their workload. So they could tell you maybe it's, you know, the right read percentage, IOs, all that stuff.
I like it.
So one last thing on monitoring, where should you monitor performance from? You know, should I be looking from the guest perspective? Should I be looking from the hypervisor perspective? Should I be looking from the storage array perspective? Why might I see different numbers there even, you know, from that perspective?
Yeah, I usually like to look at the whole picture, right? So I'm looking at the back end, which is the vSAN piece, right? And that's going to be a little different if the front end of VM number of the protection level that you have, right? So it's going to have different number of components, different number of objects, things like that. So you might see different numbers between the two. But understanding what's going on the back end on the actual storage side, it's important to understand what's going on.
Yeah. So if you have like RAID 1, there's an amplification of 2-to-1 for IOPS. But so if you look on the back end to understand if there's a hardware limit you're hitting, you look on the front end to try to get kind of an equal perception, I guess, would be kind of the viewpoints of when to use them.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, just because I remember some storage arrays, not necessarily, you know, back in the day, they're like, oh, this was my latency for me serving it. But what happens once it hits the fabric? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So getting that VM view kind of gives you that good end to end.
Yeah. And those are, you know, sometimes hard to identify. Usually there's, you know, network issues can be presented differently. So you can see some, you know, not only outstanding IOs, but delayed IOs. So maybe, you know, one host, one VM was really slow pushing those IOs out, and that's when you know, oh, maybe, you know, there's a NIC problem port on the switch, or maybe, you know, buffer size on the switches, which is starting to be very common. So just, you know, understanding what's going on, what's happening, how everything's communicating.
Well, and what are some of those metrics you might look for if you say you think there's a networking issue? Like,
so usually when I use HGI Bench, I look at the vSAN Observer output, or even just within vCenter. Right, go to monitor performance, and you can go to each host, and each host has a metric that shows you if you're dropping packets, right? So that's one, you know, that's something to look out for. If you're seeing, for example, height latency that you probably expected more based on the hardware that you have. So that's something that you may want to look out for.
And then you go look at the drives. If the drives are all bored, you know, they're not stressed, there's not device latency at the device level, then it's probably in the network or in a middle ground area. So
yeah, usually if you see that vSAN is just chilling, you're shooting a ton of IOPS, vSAN is not doing a whole lot of work, then there's something on the outside. And we see this usually when people go, I'm starting to test a lot of the all NVMe clusters, right? So they go all NVMe, so you're removing the storage controllers, right? Those drives are super fast. You can actually push a lot of data through them, but they forget about the network. So maybe they have, you know, 25 gig NICs, that's fine, but the switches are not suited for that type of traffic. So I'm talking about the buffer sizes mostly. So if you have, they have a shared buffer between all the ports in the switch, maybe they have 32 megs and you have 48 ports and they'll
32 meg. That's a Cisco Nexus 9300, I think. I'm a connoisseur of switch buffer stats. So yeah.
So just imagine you have 48 ports, 32 megs, and you're sharing the buffer, right? So you're going to fill that up pretty quickly. So just, you know, if you're considering something to have really fast hardware, just consider to have a decent switch that can have deep buffers and non-shared buffers.
Yeah, that's been something I've seen some customers starting to gravitate towards for the all NVMe configs, is looking at those they call deep buffer switches, where you've got, instead of megabytes, you've got gigabytes. And is kind of an interesting trend, because some of these, you know, fancy switches like the one I just mentioned, they'll try to play these weird games with the buffers where they're like, oh, well, we only have 32 megabytes, so let's favor small packets over large packets. Which then it's like, okay, my storage workload was mixed, so I'm getting out of order packet loss and delivery, and everything goes to hell. And I feel like all these smart buffers, it's like trying to, you know, I'm dealing with flooding and I've got a teacup and a broom and I'm trying to like keep the house from flooding, versus like, let's get the deep buffers in and just throw DRAM at it, you know.
All right, Dave, last question before we let you go. So I know you're a big proponent of HCI Bench. So my question for you is, what is it about HCI Bench? Like, what are some of the primary differentiators in terms of functionality and testing that you get from HCI Bench that that you may not see in some of the other competitive HCI benchmarking solutions?
One of the things I like about HCI Bench is that it actually automates the process for you. So you can, you're still using VD Bench. So we don't own VD Bench, right? That's Oracle tool. FIO is not ours either. So we're just running those tools, automating the process, but we're showing you everything. So HCI Bench doesn't have any compile code. You can actually go and go through all the scripts and you can actually see what it's doing. So we're not, you know, we're presenting everything to you. We're not obfuscating anything.
So if you want to just take it apart and figure out what the hell it's doing, just go for it. SSHN, look at the files, look at the scripts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like I said, it's just orchestrating the creation of the VMs that they have, VD Bench or FIO on those VMs, how many to create, you know, how long to run the test. So it's actually putting all the pieces together for you. Otherwise, you can do it manually. You're welcome to, but it's going to take you a lot longer. So you can actually take VD Bench, run those same parameters, deploy your own VMs, and do it all manually. So,
you know, that sounds like a lot less work.
It is a lot less. It's the easy button.
I remember back in the day trying to test a cluster and like creating all these VMs and running, you know, I think it was something awful like, what's the Intel benchmark? It's been around forever. But yeah, it was just like trying to get it all tuned and get it all working and balance it and be like, oh, I need to test multiple disks on each. I got to go create these volumes. I got to attack. Like it was just to do one benchmark run through, it took me days to set it up. And then I would screw something up and find it along the way.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. So we mentioned earlier that there's great content out there, like Pete Keeler's performance troubleshooting guide. You yourself have written some good content on storagehub.vmware.com around running proof of concept. There's a whole POC guide. Anything else we can share with folks if they're looking into running a POC for themselves?
Yeah, that's a good start. StorageHub is definitely a good way to start. There's some couple blog posts that Chen put out about HCI Bench. So that's also good to go through. And it tells you exactly how to get to those scripts that I was talking about. So you can go review them and see what it's doing. So that's actually good.
Yeah. And if it still doesn't make sense, just Dave's on Twitter. Just hit him up on Twitter and he'll come to your house and set up the whole thing for you. Right, Dave?
Sure.
You heard it here, folks. All right, Dave, that was awesome, man. Thank you so much for joining us. John, anything else before we let Dave go?
You know, I'd ask for some beard grooming tips, but you know, I think that's a whole whole podcast into itself. So.
It is. Yeah, that should have different chapters as well. But we need the easy button for beard grooming. I think we got to talk to Chen so that he can create some automation for us.
Automated beard grooming. I like it. Yeah. We might have to have the whole V-beard group in here to figure this one out. It's going to take a village.
Okay. So the cover art for this podcast is ZZ Top in a drag racing car.
I like it.
All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Dave Marrera and his beard for joining us this week. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.